How many of you saw the movie Jaws? 1975, I was an adult, or I was supposed to be an adult anyway. I was 25. I went to the movie to see Jaws, and I had never experienced anything like it. I lived on a lake. I lived close to an ocean. I was on a swim team. And what happened to the town of Amity, I was sure was going to happen to my town and to me. And Matt, the ichthyologist who went, who was supposed to know the mind of this shark, the battle between the killer great white shark and the team that was there to kill him was a mighty drama. And it scared me to death. I didn't really know when I walked out of the theater that to this day, when I get in a swimming pool, I'll look to make sure that there's nothing in there that can hurt me. I can't swim in the ocean without being able to see my feet first. I really, really want to see my feet. And if something brushes up against me, there's some muscle memory that knows that that is the great white shark. And it helped me a little bit on a swimming team when I'd be swimming in a meet. If I imagined the shark was after me. But you know, the truth is fear tightens us up and our body really can't do what it does well when we're afraid. I wish I could let go of that, but that image, that experience, that shriek, that disbelief when the poor woman who's skinny dipping, God forbid that I should ever do that. Wasn't there some parental message in that? The great white shark got her. Might happen to me. Jesus calls his disciples to go deep. And going deep is not something we do easily. Some do. Some are willing to just jump in, get into the mess of their lives and their feeling and share it and put it on Facebook and talk about it. And most of us are very reluctant to go there and only do when we're forced to, when we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, or when we're sick and tired of seeing someone else be hurt, when we find injustice that's so pervasive that touches our hearts and minds that we have to move and we have to get off of dead center and go deep. Last Sunday, we left Jesus on the edge of the cliff where his community drove him because his ministry was for people who, the underserved, the people who were the neediest, the poorest, the most oppressed. And they were angry and felt entitled and thought that they should be first in line. And when they weren't, they pushed him to the edge. And we too were led to the edge to decide whether or not we stood with Jesus, who then managed to walk through the crowd unharmed. Would we believe that could really happen, and would we be willing to try it? We remember that when Jesus was in the wilderness, that he was accompanied by the Holy Spirit for his 40 days and his 40 nights, and the devil the same time. In those moments when we're called to go deep, and Jesus was called to go deep in the wilderness, he was accompanied by the Spirit and the angels, and so are we. And so we have this story from Luke's gospel. Jesus is once again on the edge, as in Luke's gospel, Jesus is almost always on the edge, which means we are also on the edge, and we have the choice to follow him or not. Jesus is standing on the shoreline, and a crowd of people who've been following him, listening to his words and seeing his miracles, are pressing in on him so much that he has to back up and commandeer a fishing vessel. And he sits down in the fishing vessel and makes kind of a little stage for himself out there on the water. If they want to get to him, they're going to have to swim, right? Get in the water. So he's a safe distance away from them. He teaches them, and when he's finished teaching, he does what he always does in the rest of the Gospels. He first teaches the people, and then he sits down with his disciples or a gathered group of friends and family and talks to them and gives them the deeper teaching. This time it's Simon Peter, who has a fishing vessel, and James and John, brothers who are sons of Zebedee, have another fishing vessel. And he's in Simon Peter's fishing vessel, and he turns and he says, "I want you to go deep. Go deep, says Simon Peter. For heaven's sake, we've been fishing all day. This is our lifeblood. We know what we are doing. And we didn't catch any. Go deep? Are you kidding me? Well, all right, because after all, it is Jesus, and they do go deep. It's important that we remember that in Luke's gospel, at what is thought to be the original gospel of Luke, which starts in chapter 3, Luke begins with a lineup of the leaders of the Roman Empire in Jesus' time. Tiberius and Herod, and he goes down the line, and then he also names the highest priests of the temple. That is to say, he says, the word came in the desert to John the Baptist. In this particular context, in the desert, literally or figuratively speaking, was the desert that people inhabited where there wasn't enough because there was oppression, because some people took more than they needed and others didn't have enough, where people were exploited. The Lake of Gennesaret was a common name for the Sea of Galilee. And we know that Tiberius, the emperor, had his eye on the Sea of Galilee. He renamed it the Sea of Tiberius and, in fact, had already started appropriating the fish oil. They were very popular in Greece and Rome, very, very popular, and exploiting the fishermen. We know the story because it happens today, don't we? And the fishermen may have a fairly large haul, but they have to turn over the majority of it to the boss. And they're left with just a little, if they're lucky. And then they have to pay their temple taxes and all the fees that are incurred there, and they don't have enough to feed their family. We don't know why they're empty-handed when they come in, but we see a people who are being exploited and oppressed, people who are desperate. Walter Brueggemann says that that place between clinging to an old way, clinging to the way that it used to be. Maybe we'll go back to the days where we'll have enough fish. If we just keep fishing and find new waters, we'll figure out where those fish are and everything will be all right. Even if we have people who are exploiting us, we won't need to speak out. We can each do our thing together and figure out a way to make it, but it isn't working for them anymore. Brueggemann says, why do people change? Why do people change? Because what they have isn't working for them anymore. And we know that in our own lives, don't we? It wasn't working for them anymore. So when Jesus said, go deep, they went deep. In order to find the abundance that is God's gift to us, in order to find the abundance within ourselves, our God-given potential, we are called to go deep. The good thing is that there's seasons and cycles of going deep. So I find in my life, I'm going along, oh, you know, this is pretty good. I like this life. This is good. And then in the wilderness for a while, right? Finally climb out of it and then, oh, it's going pretty good again. Going pretty good. Gosh, I'm so lucky. And then there's something else. It comes in waves. It doesn't all come at once, but it feels like it does, doesn't it? Mother Teresa, in a presentation that she made here in the States once, said that the Americans are always saying that they think they need to leave their lives and go to India where she is and work with her. And she says to them, stay here, right where you are, and love the people God has given you to love. Care for the people right here where you are. I found that very much true when I was in Mexico and I worked, and delegations would come down from the churches, and people would make me into sort of a shiro because I had gone there and done that and was working for little money, and it was really exciting and a little bit dangerous. And some people came back time and time again, would pay thousands of dollars to be able to come back. And I would have to say after the second time, this isn't what it's about. It's not about going over there to find the fish. You have deep waters in your own neighborhood. You can do it there. Wherever you're living and working, your work is there. Just look out and look around and you'll find those deep waters that you're called into. Jesus says at the end of his talk with his disciples, be not afraid. Be not afraid when we go into the deep water. Be not afraid that Jaws is lurking there somewhere in the deep. Be not afraid that we'll go under. Be not afraid that you won't be able to keep your head up above water. The only way we can do that, and what we see in the scriptures over and over again, is that we can do it when we do it in community. Jesus doesn't just call one person. who calls one person. Jesus calls three men and all of their crew on their fishing vessels. And then they can each call a group of people who call a group of people. We can change our lives. We can make the world a better place if we do it in community. God is always with us, always working through us, even as individuals. But when we come together like this, we can do almost anything. And so I want to end by sharing a story that I had this week of my own experience of the deep. I was accompanying someone from church who was in a rehab center and was getting really abysmal care. And time and time again, she was told one thing and then another thing happened. We eventually found out that she had been forced to sign a paper when she went in that she would not leave unless she was discharged. And even though she had met her goals in rehabilitation, she had to stay for an extra week. Because guess what? That's when her Medicare ran out, right? So we advocated, we pushed many, many hours of my time. Finally, on Friday, we got to meet with a caseworker. The caseworker first read us the Riot Act and then finally said, when I said, what do we do to bring this person home? You know, her daughter's in town for 4 days. How do we get her home? And she said, we can call the doctor. And I said, we'll do that right now while I'm sitting here. So she called the doctor, and the doctor said she could go. Hours and hours. Still the next morning, I called her and said, congratulations, you get out. And she says, Del, they're telling me I have to stay until next Tuesday. Earlier in the service, we broke into small groups, and we talked about where the clinging was, what we wished for that we don't have anymore, where the rub is that's going to make us get off our butts and move. Our healthcare system is broken, and almost every single person talked about that, about how the protocols and procedures keep people from being seen as human beings, how it's not about their well-being anymore, it's about the dollar. And even though they're good people working within these systems, the system is such that they're not allowed to talk to each other, and they're certainly not allowed to trust each other. So I don't know about you. This is something that we haven't taken on, but it's part of our commitment and the reason we have a community faith nurse, and we're recruiting for a new community faith nurse now that Katie Guerin has left. We believe that the medical system is broken and that we need each other to survive and thrive. So I hope we can have some conversations about how we can do that in a way that matters, not only individual advocacy, but also as a church community. How is Jesus calling us as individuals and as a community to go deep? Amen.